How many have your Bibles? Amen. We're picking up in momentum. We're going to convert everybody this week. I tell you, I believe apostolics ought to be Bible-toting people. Amen. Every junior high ought to take a New Testament to church with them. And to school. It was quiet on the first go-round. It was even quieter the second time. Let me say it again. Every junior high ought to take a Bible to school. Every senior high ought to take a Bible to school. And every adult ought to take a Bible everywhere. Hallelujah. We don't have camp meeting yet. Amen. This is a beautiful crowd tonight. God bless you and a beautiful spirit. All of these smiling faces. There's a couple of sour pusses here. Amen. 14 people looked at themselves. Amen. But I think the Holy Ghost is going to move, and before the service is over, you'll smile too. Amen. Because when God puts a big old victory in your heart, thank God you just can't help but let the world know it with a Holy Ghost smile. Amen. Amen. Turn around, shake somebody's hand and say, I'm going to worship God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you husbands, shake your wife's hand. She's been wanting you to do that all day long. Amen. Why don't you turn it for a while you're doing it and say, I love you, honey. Well, you do, don't you? I like to lost a third of my congregation then. Amen. Hallelujah. You shake somebody's hand, love ought to flow out from you. When you say praise the Lord from somebody, love ought to flow from your heart. Amen. We ought to just open up and let the love of God flow from us like an artesian well. Amen. We've lived in the ruts of pumping and priming so many years until we're having a difficult time getting over the hump. Amen. This thing ought to just flow from our heart. It ought to just flow from our lives. Amen. We come in contact with folk, they ought to just automatically ask, what's different about you? I never seen such joy. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I think I better preach. Amen. St. John, the fourth chapter, verses 19 through 26. I want to talk about worship tonight. Amen. I like what they said about that Christian preacher. Hallelujah. I jolted our camp meeting the other week in Florida. Amen. Some of our people looked at me like Brother Corin just went off in left field. He just really lost his equilibrium. I told them I was going the next Tuesday night to preach for an Assembly of God church. All right. Amen. I also told them I was fixing to put my application in for the pastorate of a Baptist church. <All right. laughs> Amen. They looked at me like some of you are looking at me. Well, the truth of the matter is, the Baptist church is losing its congregation. They got a building seats 1,000, and that's what I need. Amen. Plus, I believe I could convert all of them to a wonderful experience in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Assembly of God folks called me and said, we want you to come over and explain to us why you have a spirit of worship in your church we do not have. I wish everybody in Jacksonville would call me and make that kind of an invitation. I told them, I said, now you do understand there's certain things I'll have to preach if I explain that. And he said, well, I think I understand. What do you mean, Brother Corin? I said, well, first of all, you can't worship God in a complete and a free spirit of worship unless you understand who you are worshiping. Amen. Hallelujah. So I took our choir over, and I just made one little mention of it in our congregation. I didn't really make no push, but that bunch of apostolics in Jacksonville, they don't know when to stay home. Amen. So about 150 or 75 of them turned out. We got over there, and I guess it did kind of look like we came prepared. Amen. The Holy Ghost began to move, and we preached that night. I watched 8 grown adults come to the altar, and God filled every one of them with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And what was even more beautiful than that, the pastor came to me after church and he said, I'd like to make an appointment with you to talk to you about the Word of God and baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. What made it even more beautiful, the youth leader came and said, I'd like to make an appointment with you. I'd like to talk to you about the Word of God and baptism in Jesus' name. What made it even more beautiful, the head usher of the church came and said, I'd like to make an appointment with you. I'd like to talk to you about the Word of God and baptism in Jesus' name. And what made it even more beautiful, I told all three of them, I'd like to talk to you. Amen. That building's up for sale. I've been thinking about buying it. Amen. Some of the congregations already come into our church. We've already baptized about half a dozen of them. Amen. I'd like to pastor the whole city of Jacksonville, to be honest with you. Amen. The only reason I'm not inviting you is because you got a good church of your own. And you got a pastor preaching the truth, and if I didn't believe that, I'd be inviting you. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe everybody in the world ought to go to an apostolic church, very frankly. I believe everybody in the world ought to sit under an apostolic pastor, very frankly. Very frankly, I believe everybody ought to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and be a tongue talker. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's just the corn I'm feeling at home. Praise God. St. John chapter 4, verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. That's what's wrong with a lot of folks. They don't know what they're worshiping. Amen. We know what we worship. The salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. Notice, capital S. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit. Little s. In spirit. And in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'd like to speak to you tonight upon worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated just now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Notice very, very carefully, if you will again. The Bible said, they that worship him, talking about God, must worship him in spirit. Little s, that's the human spirit. Amen. Let me just wade off into some controversial water to begin with. They that worship him must worship him in spirit. Amen. That is little s, that is the human spirit. Amen. Your spirit. Amen. Now, I don't want you to get mad at me tonight. If you do, stay long enough to let me help you get glad. I tell some folks, you got the same pants to get glad in, you got mad in. Amen. The devil gets mad every time something's about to happen in the church of the living God. You let a church get ready to break through to a revival like it's never had before, and the devil's going to get mad. He'll do everything he can to hinder, halt, and arrest that move of God. Stop revival. He'll bring division. He'll bring dissension. He'll create problems. He'll bring sickness. He'll do everything under the sun. If you live for God, don't think it's going to make your neighbors happy or going to make the boss happy or anybody else happy. I want you to know the devil gets very, very unhappy when men make up their minds they're going to live for God, they're going to walk with God, and they're going to serve the living God in their heart. Amen. Amen. You go to church sometimes, we hear talk about casting the devil out. I suppose about the closest some folks ever come to casting the devil out and getting rid of the adversary is the billboard that reads the movie The Exorcist. Amen. And that's about as close as some folks ever come. They're just driving by a billboard or picking up a magazine or seeing an ad in the newspaper that talks about
such a movie as this.
Amen. I want you to know that Jesus cast out devils by the power of his word. Amen. The Bible said that he was given all power in heaven and in earth. And he gave that same power unto the church of the living God. Power over all devils, power over unclean spirits. He said, behold, I give you power over all scorpions and serpents. That's not talking about snakes out here. And that's not talking about lizards running up inside of trees. That's talking about the spirits of the devil. Unclean spirits that plague men's hearts and plague men's lives. Now, warrant you, everything we hear about the devil is not true. Amen. We were in our service the other night, and our building's mighty hot. We've been knocking out the walls again for about the 15th time, more or less. And we're expanding the building, adding about 40 feet in width and about 50 feet in length onto it. We're removing the structural load-bearing walls of the building, and our cool air is escaping, and man, it has been hot. I suppose Sunday night, this past Sunday night, the first decent, comfortable night we've had all summer. And it's been horrendous. We've not been felt very badly about the ability to keep guests or have them return or anything because it's been so uncomfortable. Now, three Sunday nights ago, a fellow in the second row of our congregation just fell on his knees at the aisle. He ended up on his hands and knees, and the first thing you know, he was heaving all over the carpet. And it was unsightly, it was distasteful, it was nauseating, it was a very undesirable occasion to happen. And bless your heart, somebody, the first thing they did, Brother Volga, they tapped me on the shoulder. They said, "Oh, Brother Colin, he's demon-possessed." Amen. We've come to the conclusion that everybody that throws up has got a demon in them. Isn't it amazing how we get so attached to some concept? Amen. He's demon-possessed. Better cast the devil out of him. I said he's not demon-possessed. I said he's just burning up with heat. He's hot. He just got so hot, he got nauseated and got sick in his stomach. I said, "You ought to take him out. Give him some good, cool, fresh air. Bring him back again. We'll try it again." Amen. Book of Revelation talks about the spirits, talks about locusts coming up out of the earth, talks about scorpions. Amen. It's talking about the spirits of the devil. Jesus Christ said, "I will give you the power over all of these things." Amen. They shall by no means hurt you, but thank God we have the power over these things through Jesus Christ. The power is not in our own strength. It's not in our own spirit. It's not in the number. It's not in the size of the church. But it is in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When you take the name of Jesus Christ and you apply that name, I want you to know there's power in the holy name of Jesus Christ. These folks that read Matthew 28:19, I wish to the good Lord they'd read Matthew 28:18. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto Jesus Christ. I want you to know the church is made powerful through the name of Jesus. He gave the affidavit to the church. Anything, ask anything in my name, believing, and it shall be done. You can't just ask it. You've got to believe it from your heart. There's got to be faith there that through the power of the name of Jesus Christ, the job is going to be done. I want you to know there is majesty applied and implied in the name of our God. There's majesty implied in the name of our God. When you call him Creator, amen. When you call him Jehovah, you are talking about the creative power of our God. When you call him Lord, you're talking about the majestic power of our God. When you call him Christ, you're talking about the anointed power of our God. When you call him Emmanuel, you're talking about the resident power of our God. When you call him Mediator, you're talking about the representative power of our God. When you call call him advocate. You're talking about the judicial power of our God. When you call him potentate, you're talking about the kingly power of our God. When you call him high priest, you're talking about the sacrificial power of our God. Oh, friend, I tell you, there is no other name than the name of Jesus Christ. And Israel ministers, when we ask in that name, believe in tonight. Let's worship God for a moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. I find many times that there is more heathenism in Christian denominationalism than there are among pagans. Even pagans in lands that have never heard the name of Jesus. I want you to know when the gospel is preached unto them and they hear it for the first time and they're told to believe, I want you to know they will automatically believe, and when they believe, things begin to happen. Oh, God, help us tonight that we will believe in what the name of Jesus Christ is able to do by, through, and in the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. When in religion tonight, we begin to get excited about being saved. I want you to know it's not without the name of Jesus Christ. It's not without the shed blood of Calvary's sacrificial lamb. It's not without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I hear folks shouting about having believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. I want you to know that is not true salvation, except the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Christ has been fully obeyed in a man's heart and life. It is anything short of repentance, anything short of baptism in Jesus' name, anything short of being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, it's a farce, it's a sham, and it's a deception of the adversary. I want you to know salvation is not a pragmatism tonight. Salvation is not a fantasy tonight. Salvation is not a cleavage or a separation of the intellectuality of the individual tonight, but salvation is truth at work in the heart and the life of a man or a woman tonight. The Bible said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And the Bible said, "He who the Son of Man has set free is free indeed." Hallelujah. That's why we ought to be able to worship God. That's why we ought to be able to clap our hands. That's why we ought to be able to praise God. There's no chains. There's nothing to catch in our heart. We have been liberated by the truth and the power of the word of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Brother Curran, why do we sing? Why do we shout? Why do folks act excited? Friend, I want you to know we don't act excited. We are excited. You don't have to put on about being excited about Jesus Christ. If you have been delivered by the power of the Holy Ghost, there ought to be an excitement in your heart. There ought to be an enthusiasm in your soul. There ought to be a rejoicing in your spirit. People who act excited don't have real salvation. People who have to put on a thrill and a joy and an excitement, they don't have real salvation. I want you to know all they have is a sham, a farce, a veneer, and a put on. We need some enthusiasm in our hearts tonight. And I want you to know that word enthusiasm is not just, it's not a devilish word. Sometimes we hear these things that are so used by the world, and we're afraid to identify with them because the world has used them. Come on. And because the world has picked them up, used them in the wrong perspective, automatically we think they're wrong to the core. But the truth of the matter is, it belongs to the people of God, and the devil has just begun to use it. A friend of mine recently printed up some church stationery, and on his church stationery, Brother Clayton, he put three crosses. And somebody said it was going into Trinitarianism. Amen. Three crosses on the hill of Golgotha doesn't mean anything whatsoever. It doesn't have anything to do with Trinitarianism. Amen. It's just talking about one God and two thieves. I was preaching camp meeting one night, and I shocked the whole bunch. I like to lost the district board superintendent and everybody else. Amen. I should have qualified at first. Power of God was a moving, and we was having a great big time. And I just shouted out, I feel like I've had a drink of whiskey. See what I'm talking about? You know what the word whiskey means. The word whiskey means water of life. Amen. You see, the devil robbed us of that. I want you to know the devil is robbing us of the word enthusiasm, too. And he is robbing us of enthusiasm because there are so many among us that do not understand what enthusiasm in the church is all about, where its place is, what it's for, and whether we should even have it or not. I'm not here to defend it tonight. The Bible doctrines need no defense. I want you to know every man who has ever experienced salvation does not need to defend the fact that it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, friend. That is just a Bible truth, and it's happened in your life if you've ever been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I have come to express to you by scriptures tonight that religion, if it is anything at all, and worship, if it is anything at all, it must have enthusiasm in it. There must be excitement in it, or it is not heartfelt worship. Amen. That word worship is not a devilish word. It's not a mean word. It comes from the Greek word theos. Or some pronounce it theos, and it simply means the God that is within you. Oh, boy. See, we're going to have fun tonight. How many youth campers are behind me tonight? Lift your hand. How many youth campers are behind me tonight? All right. I'm going to ask you that again in a little while. Amen. Did you know there are some folks that enjoy ball games more than they enjoy the house of God? Amen. You know why they get excited about a ball game? Because that's where their enthusiasm is, that's where their excitement is, and that's where their God is. Their sport is their God. Some folks enjoy waxing a car more than they enjoy worshiping Jesus Christ. Some folks enjoy manicuring the lawn more than they enjoy going to the house of God on Sunday morning. I want you to know why others go searching for God. Others go seeking God. Others go worshiping God. Some stay home playing checkers. Some stay home washing the car. Some stay home cleaning the house. Some stay home manicuring the lawn. I want you to know that's not right. That's not right. We can't have a revival with some folks in riots are praying and the other half of the church home dusting the furniture. We've got to have the whole church in one mind and one accord to praise and worship God. Oh, God. Men that are of that persuasion, either they do not have God, or otherwise they do not know God. They claim the doctrines of religion, but when it's all done and it's over with, they don't have anything in their heart. What are they doing? They're claiming something they don't have. Their God, their religion, it's a ball game, a boat, a shotgun, an automobile, a lawn, or a house full of furniture. All right. Their heaven is their house. Yeah. And that's all they have. And that's all they're going to get.
People who worship God give it everything they've got.
Amen. Amen. Let me say it again. People who worship God give it everything they've got. Brother, the Bible said to worship Him with your soul, with your body, with your mind, with your spirit. In truth, worship God with everything that is within you. The Bible said, seek God. Seek Him with your whole heart, and He will be found of you.
He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness, the same shall be filled. Let me fill you in on a gospel truth tonight. Enthusiasm is not something that only belongs to the church, however. But it belongs to anything that is God. Anything that is theos. That's what enthusiasm belongs to. Anything that is theos within you, anything that is a God within you, anything that brings out some kind of an emotional response from your heart, that could very well be your God. I have met people who love their children more than they love their God. Stay with me very, very carefully tonight. The Bible said, except you love me more than you love father, more than you love mother, more than you love houses, more than you love lands, more than you love sons, more than you love daughters, you cannot be my disciples. I tell you, one of our problems, we are making converts, we are not making disciples. We are converting a lot of folks to Acts 2:38, and they believe in repentance, they believe in baptism in Jesus' name, they believe in the essentiality of the Holy Ghost, but they are not disciples of Jesus Christ. They do not put Him first in their life. They do not get more excited about Jesus than they do anything else in the world. They do not let the power of a Holy Ghost salvation change their very soul. You see, the reason is God demands and He requires. Thank you, somebody who gave me the prerequisite and the foundation tonight. He requires that He be your Lord and God. He will receive the enthusiasm of your worship. He will receive the excitement of your worship. He will receive the emotional response of your heart. He will receive every adoration from your soul, or He will receive nothing at all. You cannot worship anything else. Acclaim Him and claim Him to be your God. If He will be your God, if He will be my God, then we must worship Him. We must serve Him, and Him only must we serve tonight. If He's your God, you've got to worship Him. Oh, Brother Corin, there must be a way to sweeten that up. I don't know how to sweeten it up and say what I'm trying to say. But if He's going to be your God, worship is not an option. Worship is not an alternative. Worship is not an elective. But they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want you to know that worship is one of the few things that God goes seeking for and searching for and looking for and longing for. He's looking for somebody that will worship the name of the Lord. God did not make you to breathe. He did not make you to hear. He did not make you to see. He did not make you to taste. He did not make you to touch. He did not make you to pray faith. He did not make you to prophesy. He made you to worship God. He made you to praise the Lord. He made you to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Let's worship God tonight. Let's worship God tonight. Well, God,
If he's your God and you're going to worship him, you've got to worship him in spirit. Little S, that's your spirit. That's your excitement. That's your enthusiasm. That's the response of your heart. You have got to worship God. Jesus name church has got to be a worshiping church. A Holy Ghost church has got to worship the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Look it up in your dictionary. Look it up in your Bible dictionary. You'll find that's exactly what that word enthusiasm and excitement means. Jesus said in John the 4th chapter that the day will come that you'll not go up to the temple, you'll not go to Jerusalem. The hour cometh, and now is, when I begin to think of all the factions and all the theories that supposedly make up God and make him what he is. If he is anything, he is right now. If he is anything, he is right now. Not a God a million miles away from here. Not a God of 100 years ago. Not a God of 50 years in the future. But a God right now. A God that wants to do something in our hearts tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody thinks about what God did yesterday and the revival that we're looking for tomorrow. I want you to know that today is yesterday's tomorrow. If we're going to have a revival, we'll have it tonight. If we're going to love God, we'll love him tonight. If we're going to worship God, we'll do it in this camp meeting.
Hallelujah. We're waiting for another evangelist. We're waiting for another camp meeting. We're waiting for another prayer line. We're waiting for another healing service. But God's waiting on you and I. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to magnify his name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship can become so erroneous. Worship can go astray so easily. But in the Old Testament, they worshiped they knew not what. They stood up that great big old tall image. That big old brazen image, they stood it up. It stood as tall as the roof of this building. There was those outstretched arms that stood like so. The belly of that old god Moloch was open. It looked like the opening to a fireside hearth. And inside of the belly of Moloch, there was those tumbling, tossing billows of bitter flames and fire. Oh, friend, they thought they were worshiping when they took their teenage boys and they bound them from the top of their head all the way down to the soles of their feet. They bound them like a piece of cordwood, and then they climbed the tall ladders, and they laid those boys upon the brazen arms of that so-called God. And down those arms, that young teenage boy would roll like a piece of cordwood into the open, yawning belly of that God. And there the flames would begin to devour, and the sulfur and the acid and the heat would begin to torment. His screams were so loud that the excruciation of his pain caused him to scream out in torment so nauseatingly that those parents went and they took drums and they beat those drums and they beat those drums to drown out the cry of their own boy, their own son, as he screamed in the bellowing flames of that God. They offered human sacrifice after human sacrifice. Hundreds and thousands of teenage boys were rolled into the belly of that brazen image until they were nothing but charred and consumed hunks of humanity. And all the time, they thought they were worshiping God. Oh, friend, let me tell you, when the day of Pentecost came, God breathed upon that multitude and cried, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. The 12 apostles were there. Oh, friend, the church was born in that tremendous and momentous experience. Not a denomination, not particularly a creed, but the church of the living God. 3,000 were added unto it. 5,000 were added unto it. And the Bible said in less than 2 years that all Asia heard the word of God. That early church was a moving church. That early church was a progressive church. That early church was on fire for God. I want you to know you cannot walk in the house of God and sit on a church bench like a mummy. You cannot walk in the tabernacle of the Lord and sit like a zombie. I look around me, and at 16 and a half short years of preaching the gospel compared to these other precious men of God, I'm telling you, I have always observed men that do not worship God. It's usually because there's something in their craw. There's something down inside of them. There's a bitterness there. There's a rebellion there. There's anarchy there. There's sin there. There's something there that will not let them worship the Lord. Men that will worship God. Men that will praise God. Men that will glorify God. The Spirit will purify and cleanse and renew them in the power of the Holy Ghost. I love to go up around Gatlinburg to the Smoky Mountains. There's anything I love to do is kneel down on my knees among the rocks, dip my hand into the one of those flowing streams, and pour that cool, delicious spring creek water up and drink it. I turned that picture up last night, and I'm going to tell you that's the closest to Smoky Mountain water I have drunk in a long, long time. So delicious, so clean, so pure. They tell me that you can walk upstream in the Smoky Mountains and pour into the stream a bottle of acid, a bottle of poison, run downstream 50 feet, fall on your knees and drink the water. Because every 50 feet, a flowing stream will purify and cleanse itself over the rocks and over the pebbles and filtering itself through the sand. Brother, when that stream is a moving stream, it will purify and cleanse itself. I want you to know in the church of the living God, of disregard the rocks and the pebbles and the sands that eats into its heels, and it'll flow and move and be progressive for the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to know God will cleanse it, God will purify it, and God will make it whole. Let's worship God. Let's worship God. Let's worship God. You look around, you find men that are bickering and complaining, just plain old colloquial bellyaching. You'll usually find it's men that's not praying, it's men that's not fasting, it's women that are not worshiping, it's a church that's not praising God. Brother, when we are so involved in the work of God that we can't eat or sleep, I want you to know it will purify our spirits. We got a lot of churches in our world that don't worship. You look around and their seminaries are dead. They have no young men aspiring for the ministry. You take worship out of the church, and I want you to know you'll kill this church. Let me say it again. Take worship out of this church, and you'll kill this church. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I've seen husbands get enthused talking about what their child does.
What he's learned now. How he's developed. And get all excited about what he said today. The little caper he pulled last night. The cute little trick my boy did this afternoon. And then sit on a church bench and never part their lips and say hallelujah. Oh, but Brother Corey, I'm just not the hand clapping type. I'm just not the owl running type. I'm just not the boisterous type. I'm just not the enthusiastic type.
Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You get enthused about something somewhere. Come on, friend. You get enthused about something somewhere. Somewhere you're excited about something. And whatever you get more enthused about, whatever you get more excited about, then you do worship in God. That is your God. That first church had fire. It had power, and it had a worship. Oh, God, I'm afraid that we're slipping into an era, if we're not careful, that printed sermons in books will take the place of the anointing presence and power of the Holy Ghost upon our hearts. I'm afraid we'll read our canned sermons out of books instead of this old precious word of God. We need the anointing of the presence and the power and the glory of Almighty God. I've got sermon notes on the pulpit tonight, for whatever they're worth. I walked into Ecuador last week, though, and I didn't take nothing but my Bible. Didn't take a sermon note with me. Didn't take a reference note with me. Just took my Bible. And after the first night I preached, the first morning, then the second night, I had about a half a dozen people come to me, and they say, "Man, how do you preach with just the Bible?" I preached another service, and another young person came to me, said, "Man, where did you get that sermon?" I said, "Did you ever hear of On Your Knees?" All right. Oh, Lord, I would quit meddling. I'm going to let Brother Volga do that. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, if we're not careful, we'll come to the place we think we're just another denomination. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, that's about what we're fixing to become. It's just another denomination. Friend, you're looking at one fellow that's made up his mind. I don't care where everybody else goes or what they do or what they think. I'm going to stay in the lids of this back book called the Bible. I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to stand for the message of salvation. We're going to worship God and evangelize. Some of our own churches tonight are toning down worship, toning down praise, toning down prayer. And if we're not careful, the next thing we're going to do, we're going to tone down the Holy Ghost. You hear me? We're going to tone down the Holy Ghost. One of the ladies of my church, when she was just young, and she wasn't even in the church, as a matter of fact, she went over to another church, and they gave an altar call, and she went down naturally. She'd just been to our church once or twice. She got down to the altar, and somebody knelt in front of her, and they said, "Now, Amanda, lift your hands up like this." And she lifted her hands up like that. They said, "Now, you say, loo-loo-loo-loo-loo-loo-loo-loo." So she's an obedient woman. She said, "Loo-loo-loo-loo-loo-loo-loo-loo-loo." They said she got it. You got to understand Gloria to understand this. She looked up and she said, "I got what?" They said she got the Holy Ghost. She said, "Who got the Holy Ghost?" They said, "You got the Holy Ghost." Like I said, you got to understand Gloria to understand this.
She said, no, not me. She said, I didn't get the Holy Ghost.
They said, yeah, I said, you got the Holy Ghost.
She said, look.
She said, when I get the Holy Ghost, I'll probably be the first one to know it. And she said, nobody will have to tell me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Brother Cole, what's the link? I'm telling you, when you tone down one phase of the Word of God, you better be careful. You'll start toning down everything in the Word of God. When you take worship out, the next thing you'll attack the message and the prayer of salvation, and then you'll throw holiness out the window. And the first thing you know, you'll be a sounding bass and a tingling cymbal, and God won't be within a million miles.
God. The devil don't care how much you know the Gospels.
He doesn't care how much you understand about the epistles. He doesn't care how much you know about the book of Revelation.
And I'm going to shock your biblical modesty, but he doesn't care how much you know about the book of Acts either.
Just so you don't get enthused about any of it.
Oh, God. My Lord, I wish somebody preached and let me shout.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, we need to get enthused about what God's put into our hearts. We need to get excited about what God has put into our hearts tonight. We need to tell it. We need to call it. We need to shout it. We need to write it. We need to communicate it to hearts in every way humanly possible and tell them about repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and the joy of worshiping God, of praising God, and loving the Lord.
Fellow came to me at my church some time ago, and he said, Brother Carr, we need to tone the choir down. I turned, looked at him, and I said, we need to do what?
He said, we need to tone the choir down so they don't shout so loud.
I said, and exactly why shouldn't our choir shout as loud as it shouts?
He said, because we can't hear the words.
Oh, how about bad? How bad? I don't know if he caught me in a bad mood, the wrong mood, or the right mood. But I looked at him and I said, sir, if you're ready to tamper with the worship of the Church of the Living God, why don't you pack your bags and move out?
We're not here to lull sinners to sleep. We're not here to soothe and to entertain the classical ear.
We're here to worship God.
We're here to worship God. We're here to praise the Lord. I'm not saying you got to jump benches to worship God, but I'm saying you've got to worship God. I'm not saying you've got to run the aisles. I'm saying you've got to worship the Lord.
I had a fellow call me long distance recently. He said, Brother Cohen, I've heard your churches. Wow.
I said, would you repeat that again?
He said, I've heard your church is absolutely wow. I prayed a half a minute and I couldn't think of anything. The Lord didn't anoint me. So all I felt to say was what the Queen of Sheba said about Solomon. I said, honey, the half has never yet been told. That was the beginning and that was the end of our long-distance conversation. I don't know what he thinks about us. He probably thinks we're spiritual nuts. But I'll tell you one thing, we believe in worshiping God. I'll tell you something else, when sinners walk in the door of the church, conviction hit them by the time they get in the door. I tell you what, they don't even get out of the parking lot sometime until conviction's already hit them. I tell you what, as many have received the Holy Ghost in the pews as have ever begun to receive it in the altar, you know why?
That's a church worshiping God. That's a church praising the Lord. That's men and women that are enthused and excited about the power of God in their heart.
Oh, but Brother Corin, God's never made me worship. No, and he's never made me worship either. Matter of fact, he never made me talk in tongues. He just moved on me. And I responded to what I felt. I responded to what moved through me. And I yielded myself into the hands of the Holy Ghost. Brother, I had to yield myself to God to go to an altar one night. I had to yield myself to God to be baptized one night. I had to yield myself to God to get the Holy Ghost one night. And if I'm going to worship God, I've got to yield myself unto the moving of the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. If we have to ask folks to lift their hands, it's because there's nothing in the heart. If you have to ask folks to clap their hands, it's because there's no enthusiasm in the soul. If you have to ask folks to praise God, it's because they are not excited about Jesus Christ. Go down to the local bar. They got worship. Go down to the local football stadium. They've got enthusiasm. Go down to the local tavern. They've got excitement.
Brother, the devil has blinded this whole world to the point they don't know what to worship. They worship, they know not what.
Brother, they're excited, they're enthused, but it's about the wrong spirit and the wrong God.
I wish we wouldn't criticize some of these denominational prayer groups so much. I wish we wouldn't be so critical of them. I'm saying that from my heart. I wish we wouldn't be so critical of them. Brother, those folks have not found God in the church. Those folks have not found theos in the church. Those folks have not found enthusiasm in the church. Those folks have not found excitement in the house of God. And so they've broken off into splinter house-to-house prayer meetings. They are hungry and searching and looking for their God.
And I'm going to tell you, if we don't have God in the church, some of our own folks are going to go into prayer groups. Some of our own folks are going to find house-to-house Bible studies if we don't have a God excitedly in the house of God. God must be in the church, or men are going to go where he is.
The sad thing about it is, Brother Clayton, many times they don't find the true God, but they find the substitute. And that's another sermon, and I don't have time to preach it tonight. But you go to any big city in America. Go to New York at 2:30 a.m. in the morning. Go to Houston 2 a.m. in the morning. Go to New Orleans at 2 a.m. in the morning. Come to Jacksonville, if you want to, at 2 a.m. in the morning. You'll find sidewalks packed. You'll find a filth and smut newsstands on the corner. They're standing 4, 5, and 6 deep. You know why? There's something inside of them that's reaching out for response and enthusiasm and excitement, and the devil has capitalized upon it because they've never been channeled to worship God in righteousness. So they're finding their God on the streets.
Brother Corin, are you trying to tell me the same emotions, the same excitement, and the same enthusiasm that men are exhibiting on the street is what is in a man's heart to worship God? I'm telling you, that's perverted worship out there, and this is righteous and holy worship in the house of God. The same enthusiasm that will follow after the devil will worship God if you'll understand that God is great and greatly to be praised.
Well, I might as well put the icing on the cake. You either love me or don't love me by now. How many love me?
What about the rest of you? Amen. It's a close enough vote. I'm going to stay.
Amen.
Hey, let me tell you something. Every baby that's born into this world is born to clap its hands. Every baby that's born into this world is born to jump. Man, they act like they got ants in the pants. You can't keep a 2-year-old still for $1 million.
Right.
Some of your folks, you smile. Would you please? Every one of those little tots, they clap their hands. Brother, it don't take much to make them clap their hands. They were born smacking their little palms together. They were born kicking their feet.
I know all your maids don't believe it, but you ask me, I'm a father. I took old Abraham and Sarah here a long time to get started, but man, when we got with the program, we got with it. Somebody said, your babies sure were close together, weren't they? They always say that with a little smirk in there. I say, yeah, you know, having babies is just like praying people through the Holy Ghost. You pray one through, it gives you faith and break two through. Yeah, we're in the baby business in Jacksonville. We're going to grow one way or the other. If you've ever visited our church, we got our walls painted pink and blue. I've become the laughing stock of the UPC. They got that mixed up over in Columbia, and they called it PCU. I pulled up to a church in Orange, Texas, and somebody got the sign messed up. It was supposed to be UNITED, United Pentecostal Church. They got the letters mixed up, and they put UNTIED, Untied Pentecostal Church. Amen. I was teaching one Sunday morning, and all our walls were blue. And I thought, dear Lord, we want something besides boy babies in this church. I said, Rick, I'm leaving tomorrow. When I come back Thursday night, I want that back wall painted pink. I came back, it was painted pink. The reason we got two blue walls and one pink wall, we're expecting more boy babies than we are girls. We want some strength in the church. We want a strong and a powerful apostolic church. But I'm telling you, when those babies were born, man, I learned some new tricks. Some 2 a.m. tricks, some 3 a.m. tricks, some 4 a.m. tricks, some 5 a.m. tricks. But I also found that those little bundles of joy are made to be excited and to be enthused, to clap their hands, to kick their feet, to jump, and to run and to play. My little girl didn't want to go to sleep one night, and I didn't feel like spanking her, so I just decided to see how long it'd take her to wind down. I wish to God I'd never done it, and I won't do it again. I heard the roosters crowing. She was a-kicking and a-junking and a-bucking and a-braying and a-clapping her hands and having a big time. My daddy was a-hanging on. Your child's got it. If he's normal, he's enthusiastic. If she's normal, she's excited. If they're normal, they're made to respond to something. And I'm going to tell you, they'll either find their God in the church or they'll find their God in the world. Amen. They'll either find excitement in the house of God or they'll find it on the street corner. They'll either find enthusiasm in worship or they'll find it in a back alley somewhere. Your 13-year-old will either find enthusiasm in God's house, find worship in the house of God, find excitement in the house of God, find the power of the Holy Ghost in the house of God, or she'll become a 13-year-old wench and she'll sell her body for 25 cents on the street. Brother Corin, you don't leave us much alternative. There's no alternatives in the Word. They that worship Him must. That's the same must to be baptized. That's the same must to get the Holy Ghost. That's the same must to live a holy life. They must worship God. I'm appealing to this camp. Let's put God back in the church. Let's put worship back in the church. Let's put enthusiasm back into the church. Let's put excitement back into the house of God. Let's praise and worship and glorify God. Would you stand and let us worship the Lord? Oh, let's lift every hand. Let's lift every heart. Let's lift every voice. Let's lift every mind. Let's worship God.